I want to finish up the end of chapter 8:17. Pasuk Nun Zayin. Say, remember David killed Goliath. We discussed that extensively. It was a very cool battle. We discussed the metaphor of the battle for the battle that we all have, and the wonder of if whether it's a natural victory or whether it's God-aided victory. And I think the Red Sox are just a very good example of that.
So much for your prediction.
I was so close.
You were
for sure thinking about that when they were up by a lot in the ninth inning, weren't you?
And then I thought, yeah, but
believe me, every
so far off.
Every Yankee fan was sitting there going, okay, we're going to come back now. Now it's time to come back.
Okay. Ukushuv David mehakos es haplishti. When David returned from smiting the plishti, vayikachoso avner. So Avner brought him before Shaul. The Rosh HaPlishti biyado. It was pretty brutal. And the head of the Plishti was in his hand. And so, you know, he's like, look what I got. Like the Stanley Cup trophy. Right? Head of Goliath. The head of Goliath.
I think the head of Goliath was bigger than the Stanley Cup.
Right. Well, no, head of Goliath bigger than the Stanley Cup?
Not bigger, like physically. I'm saying bigger, like.
Bigger than the trophy.
Okay. Vayomer elav Shaul. Are you ready to say?
Sure.
Okay. Vayomer elav Shaul. Ben mi ata hanar. Who are you the son of? Vayomer David. Ben avdecha Yishai Beit Halachmi. I'm the son of Yishai from Beit Lechem. Okay. Now, there's only one problem with that last pasuk. What is the problem with that last pasuk?
He knows who he is.
What in the world is going on? Now, of course he knows who he is. So how all of a sudden he comes back? Who are you? I'm David. Who do you think I am? Well, you lost your mind. I was David like 10 minutes ago. I went out, I threw a stone, I cut the guy's head off, and I come back. Why are you asking me now all of a sudden, who am I?
State of shock by Shaul.
So if you want to learn it in a simple shot, then Shaul's just a little weird. You'd have to say that Shaul's having another one of his episodes. Right? He is manic depressive. We're going to see it this coming chapter. But I don't want to say it today. Rashi has a very, very interesting comment. Says Rashi, Ben mi zeh hanar. And it's a very, very fascinating Rashi and a very important Rashi. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped a little. Whoops. Go back to 55. Bechirot Shaul et David. When Shaul saw David, Yoshevi Kratap, he's still going out. Amar el Avner, Sar HaTzava, he said to Avner, the chief of staff, Ben mi zeh hanar Avner, who's this guy? Whose son is he? Vayomer Avner, Chei Nafshech HaMelech Im Yadati. I have no idea. Vayomer HaMelech, Sha'al Ata Ben Mizeh HaElam. You ask who this unknown person is. So then they asked him when he came back. Says Rashi, Ben Mizeh Anar, who is the son? Who is the son of? Who is he the son of? V'chilo Haya Makiro. Rashi says, Avner didn't know who he was. Shaul didn't know who he was. V'haloksi V'yehevahu Me'od. Vahilo no se kilav. It says we learned before that Shaul loved him. He became his arms bearer. Remember when, you know, the music and he liked him and he was a nice kid. Oh, kid, you're gonna be good. So how could he not know who he was? Ella Ra'ahu midna heg betachsi se malchut. See, I'm in Rashi on Nunhe. Rashi on Nunhe. Doesn't help you anyway?
116.
Rather, he saw him midna heg betachsi se malchut. He saw him behaving in the tachsisei malchut. I'm not sure if it means the clothes of the monarchy or the behavior of the monarchy. So David, remember when David, when he put on the armor, and the armor all of a sudden fit him. Amar Shaul, Shaul said, Im ba mimishpachat peretz melech yihyeh. Because if he's going to come from that, if that kid is from the family of Peretz, he's going to be the king. Now remember, what is this all the background of? What's background we have to remember? What does Shaul know?
That he's not going to be.
He's not going to be the king. So he's always looking at, is that the guy? Shamelech poreit geder lasos lo derech vei mamchim biyado. Okay? Because the king poreit geder. He breaks down fences. He doesn't care. Vei mamchim biyado, nobody stops him. Vei mishpachat zarach ba, but if he comes from the family of zarach, Chashuv Yihyeh. He'll be an important person. But he won't be... He says, what's the family lineage? What's his yichus? This is very interesting. So we went on this trip that we were on. And the trip, I think I mentioned this in Shul, was sponsored by the Igud Mosdos Gur.
Ger Hasidim. Does anybody know any Ger Hasidim?
It's at a wedding.
You were at a Ger wedding? So, I have to tell you quite honestly, I went into this trip beforehand, and this is, we will tell you, we'll verify this. One of the reasons I went on the trip was because I felt for a while that I have not been, in my own way, open enough to people that are not like me. So I thought it would be a good experience for me to interact with people who aren't, you know, from Jews, who are not like myself, who I don't interact with usually. And it really was a very eye-opening trip. You learn a lot about different people. And one of the experiences that I've never had before, because I don't do this, is I don't go, you know, Rebbe visiting. Mm-hmm. It's not my cup of tea. But you know, all the people that say, oh, we went to Israel and we saw all the Rebbes and we got brachas. So what's the first thing they do when they get you off the plane, you know, when the Ger Hasidim bring you in? They bring you to the Ger Rebbe. Right. And I have to be honest with you. I mean, he has 30,000 Hasidim in Israel who will turn on a dime for whatever he says. They will do anything that he asks them to with utter and complete devotion and trust. No questions asked. Right? And that's just the way it is. And between you and me, hi. Extension cord. You know where it is? Yeah. I couldn't find it in there, but it might be in the inner closet. I don't know. Thank you. Okay? I didn't get it. I don't see it. You know, like, so I was talking to a guy yesterday. There was a guy here collecting money, Rav Steinerman. He's a Stolener Chassid. So he said, listen, these people are great people. They have a certain sense of yichus. They have a certain sense of shchus avos, we call it, merit of the forefathers. Their father was a Rebbe. I see, what I said was, who cares who his father was? You know, the way it works in Hasidus, the father was a Rebbe and his father's a Rebbe, so then the son becomes a Rebbe. Who cares? If he's a great person, if Rebbe is a great person, Rebbe's great. It doesn't, you know, his father might have been great, might not have been great. But why not measure Rebbe on his own merits? So they believe no. It depends on, if you have schutz avos and you're a great person, then you can become a tzaddik. And it's unbelievable. I mean, it's just an interesting phenomenon. And not something that I personally ascribe to, not something I really understand, but it's out there. And I want to point that out. When we read this Rashi, they all believed in this idea of schutz avos. Rashi clearly believed in it. That the idea that there's merit of forefathers and that there's that yichus is a very powerful thing. I just want to point that out. Amar lo doeg. I don't know where you are. So the Rashi continues. So Doeg says, Ash ata shoel imba mi mishpacha shiehelo hagim amalchus imlav. He says, hold on, before you ask who his father is, whether he'd be good for the monarchy or not, this is great. Sha'al imroi la'avo b'kahal imlav. You have to ask another question. Is he Jewish? What? Shaharei meirut ha'moav yabo. Found it?
I think it's in that inner
house. Oh, I don't have the key to that. No. You don't either.
No.
And you know, can you find them an extension cord? Do you know where the extension cord is? Do you know where it is?
I know where it is.
Can you get them an extension cord?
I got a couple in the house.
Rina needs one now. You have one here? Yeah, thanks. Okay. He's the grandson of Ruth Amoraviyah, a Moabite. So Amalo Abner, Abner says, Shaninu Amoni, Velo Amoni. No, remember, only an Ammoni is forbidden to marry into the Jewish people, not an Ammoni, a woman. Amalo Doeg, in Cain, Mamzer, Velo Mamzeret. So if that's true, then only a Mamzer is forbidden, not a Mamzeret. So they get into just a long, long discussion. But it's interesting to note that the discussion was, how do we get rid of this guy? If they saw him as a threat, they saw him as someone who potentially could be a threat to the monarchy. So Shaul says, who is this guy? Is he a threat to me? So Doeg says, I got a way to get rid of him. How to get rid of him? Well, you see, nowadays we know, in hindsight, that David HaMelech's lineage through Ruth is accepted. Nowadays we read Megillas Ruth on, you know, on Shavuos, and it's so beautiful, the Moabite woman, and she's the convert. In those days, David's lineage was the stuff of huge controversy. Here you see this guy ascending the ranks, becoming a great person, right? And there are people wandering around saying, this guy's not even Jewish. His great-great-grandfather was not allowed to marry his wife, and he's a direct descendant. And, you know, so you can imagine, David comes back from the war, and that's what they're talking about. It's what they're trying to... Yeah, I mean, that's the point. But I'm saying, it was never really resolved. Boaz did it.
Boaz married her, but it was never really resolved. So here, in addition to all the things David had to deal with, the Gemara makes it clear, the Midrash makes it very clear, that he also had to deal with swirling around him, and probably never left him until he assumed the monarchy totally, probably still not even after that. These vicious rumors about whether he was really Jewish or not, and whether he was able to become a king or not. So I just want to point out, before you vote tomorrow, if you think politics are bad today, they're no worse than they ever were. And if you think personal attacks are in existence today, here you see someone feels threatened politically, so what does he immediately do? Well, I wonder what the halacha is about Amoni v'lo Amonit, Moabi v'lo Moabi. You know, so you can look at it as a real halachic discussion, or you can look at it as, well, it's really a suffix, you know. Okay, for a regular guy, you know, we could paskin Amoni v'lo Amonit, you know, but for the king, we're going to enter a suffix like that, and you could very well see somebody going to, like, you know, all the Rosh Yeshivas and, all, you know, coming out and saying, this guy is not worthwhile, and we can't appoint him as the king, you know, and it would cause great problems. Okay, chapter 18. Of course it was written. You know who wrote it? I think it was written by Shmuel. Okay? But the canon wasn't established. Meaning, the books that are in Tanakh is a whole other, it's another course. But who made the books that are in our 24 books of the Bible, who made them part of the canon? So the answer is, Chazal did. The rabbis did much, much later. So the fact that somebody wrote a book doesn't mean that it was accepted. I mean, if we read it now in order to justify who David HaMelech was. Oh, it's so beautiful, so wonderful. But that was a subject of huge controversy. Huge controversy. You know, and you can imagine this guy getting up saying he's going to be king. People saying, not my king. No way. Okay. We'll read through the passage, and then I have some points to make. And then, hopefully I'm going to show you the message that the author of the Navi wants to communicate through the language that the Navi gives us. How many people have their own Nevi'im, their own book? Two. That's not going to be good. Okay. No. I wanted to ask you one because I was going to ask you to write in it, but forget that. Okay. What? Okay.
No, I don't write in pen in
the mind. I do. What's going to happen?
I'll be able to erase it if it's wrong.
You gotta have more confidence in that. Okay. Vayikha chalotol l'daber el Shaul. V'nefesh Yehonatan nikshara b'nefesh David. This is a very, very controversial thing also, not today. The soul of Yonatan became nikshara. The root of the word nikshara is?
Kesher.
Bound. Right, bound to the soul of David. Vayehavehu Yehonatan k'nafsho. Yonatan loved him like his own soul. Okay? What does that mean? We know what today people claim it means, but it clearly doesn't mean that. What kind of love are we talking about?
Friendship.
Brotherly.
Right? But there is actually a more correct term for it. A more specific term.
Respect, admiration.
Let them say that. It says he loved him, his soul was tied with his soul.
Soulmates?
But you wouldn't say that. That would not be a Well, see, you're treading dangerous ground here. I would call it what we call platonic love. What is platonic love? Anybody know?
Plato and the students.
Meaning what? Right.
They were mentally, they, you know, they...
Correct. Platonic love means there is a uniqueness, there is a similarity or an identification of ideals.
Yes, student teacher.
Correct. Right. So that idea of platonic love is completely asexual. It's nothing to do with sexuality. You know, and then you get into real, like, long discussions with high school students about whether you can have platonic love between men and between platonic relationship between girls and boys. Incidentally, believe me, the answer is no. But, you know, well, exactly. If you just show them a screening of Harry and Sally, and that's the end of that. Okay? But this idea of Nashok, Shurab, Nesh, David, all the Mepharshim, I mean, you know, the things that go on today, disparaging David and Yonatan, are just, it's only today that people have the impudence to change history or to adapt the Bible in order to fit our needs.
You know, I was reading about this, the Orthodox rabbi in the Jewish News. Did you all read that article?
Mm-hmm.
You stopped subscribing to it. Yeah, you know. All right.
The answer to Kate, he asked me if I saw your article and the other guy's article.
What did he say about my article?
He said you were right for the wrong reasons and the other guy was wrong for the right reasons.
This is in this passage.
He was wrong for
he
the
was right.
Right
for the wrong reasons. And you were right for the wrong reasons, and he was wrong for the right reasons. Which his way of thinking, I don't, you know, they haven't figured him out yet.
Has anybody else read my piece?
I'd like
to.
What?
I
did.
What do you think? It's a little strong.
A little strong.
Which piece was it?
Not that long in letter.
That's an understatement.
It was strong on purpose.
It was strong in the letter, according to Dave.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
It was very strong. This week, had my kids read it.
Yeah.
Their kids. And they wanted to burn it in the fireplace.
Okay.
What was the piece about?
It was about proposals.
Proposal two.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
But it ended, the last little paragraph said, you have two choices. You can either change the way you look at the Torah or find yourself a new rabbi. Yeah? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I said. Because I have to tell you. You know, this says
I want to tell you, everybody at Friday Night Dinner applauded you.
Yeah, but you were at Steve's house, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Everybody said, go rabbi, you know.
You know, I have to tell you, this particular issue obsessed me very much about the conservative movement. Because the conservative movement, at the very least, there's supposed to be some semblance of halacha. There's supposed to be. They're supposed to stand for something. And if you're not standing for something that's literally black and white in the Torah, then what do you stand for? And that was my point. And that's why I'm really upset about it. So you want to talk about driving on Shabbos, not driving on Shabbos, and this and that. Fine, we can argue about, you know, halacha, but you have to stand for something. And if you don't stand for anything, then your movement really doesn't stand for anything, and it doesn't really stand a chance of surviving. And that's really what I meant. And I think that's why it got me so upset, because they have to stand for something. And for them not to, really means...
But when you originally told us about the discussion at the Board of Rabbis before all of this, when you guys were deciding whether to have a position or not, you gave both sides.
Yeah.
And they said that you all decided you weren't going to...
We decided...
Not to...
When you were in a room...
Formal statement.
Now, you come up with a formal statement, but what happened was, you know, when I'm in this room, and I am the vast minority, you know, it's me and everybody else.
But you still prevail.
I didn't prevail. What happened was, they're all clearly, the whole Board of Rabbis is in favor, is against proposal... Against proposal too?
Against.
So the Jewish Community Council, which shouldn't have had an opinion at all, asked the Board of Rabbis to weigh in. So they were all like, oh, of course, it's discriminatory. I said, hold on a second. So we had to sort of water down the language in such a way where everybody would agree. So I got to the point where they agreed that all we would recommend is we are against proposal two because it introduces the idea of
religion
and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So sometimes you're sitting at a meeting, and even though you don't agree with it 100%, you know, you have to mitigate yourself in order to come to a consensus. So,
because if we can do this now, next time they can legislate against Shechita, just like, you know,
yeah,
again,
it's true.
But Shechita is a little different than this thing.
Anyway, I knew we were going to get into this, even though I didn't want to, but... Anyway, Vayikachehu Shaul b'yom ahu, Shaul took him on that day. V'lo natano lashuv beit aviv. Didn't even let him go home. Right? Yonatan loved him. You're in. Vayichrot Yonatan v'David brit. They made a covenant, a brit. V'ahavato oto kinasho. So talking about, Yonatan saw this guy David, and he immediately became attached to him and knew that this was a person who he identified with. I mean, to be honest with you, you have that feeling sometimes. Like when I was at this, I talked about this army camp, this army thing. Sometimes you see these people, and you feel like this is what it's supposed to be about. You know, you meet somebody who's learned and is knowledgeable and involved in the world, and you know what I'm saying. There are certain people who you really feel have put it all together. And so Yonatan is a son of the king. he might not necessarily know that he's not going to be the king. And he's trying to figure out, where am I? What am I supposed to do? How do I reach those goals? How do I become the person I think I'm supposed to be? And he sees this guy, David. Now remember, who's David? He's a shepherd. He's a poet. He's a musician. So he's got all the liberal arts aspects of him, right? And then what does he do? He goes and chomps off the head of the most powerful warrior in the world. He's got it all. He's got it all. And Jonathan says to himself, this is somebody I have to attach myself to. He saw it. And I think that we all can sort of identify. We've met people in our lives and we say to ourselves, this is it.
Jonathan identified himself like David. When he went up with his barrier, you know, with his armor bearer up the mountain and he slew...
Right.
He did this initiative himself. He felt that,
correct.
That David does the same thing.
Correct.
Where his father was sitting and contemplating things. So when he found somebody that...
That's willing to, that's not afraid, or that's not,
that,
I think that it's more though, I think that, you know, when you look at David HaMelech was really the complete package. He was, you know, I mean, you know, that's what you want to have somebody who has it all, you know, you want to have the, and that's really why America is so torn, this decision we face, right? On the one hand, you have the strong, resolute guy, but he's like an idiot. And then you have the smart intellectual, but he seems like a wimp, right? You want somebody to put it together. And I don't think, have we ever had that? I mean,
yeah.
What? I could dream on.
Harry Truman.
Maybe Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I wasn't around during Roosevelt's time.
That's true.
Were you around during Truman?
What?
I could be around during Truman's time.
No, but was he so smart? Right. Now that's what everybody wants. Somebody who's the complete package. And I think that's what Jonathan saw. That's what people are saying. He took off his coat. They had this whole, I don't know, like, you know, this. What do you call it when people become blood brothers, I guess. You know, he took off his coat. And he gave it to David, Umadav, his uniform, meaning his overcoat, the Ad-Kharbo, he gave him his sword and his kashto, the Ad-Kashto, the Ad-Kharbo, until his belt. He did this whole ceremony to make it that they were brothers, this covenant.
Maybe he was relieved that he wasn't the king.
I don't know. You think
he wanted to be king? He said, "Oh, finally a guy that can be king, and I don't have to."
Yeah, it's very interesting. So when we were at the Ger Hasidim at the dinner at the end, they showed us. First of all, they have a base medrash. They built a base medrash that's two stories high. The base medrash, when they come for davening. You're like this, Dennis. They come for davening. They all daven in Rosh Hashanah together. The base medrash holds 12,000 people, not including children. 12,000 people. And they all daven in the base medrash. I mean, it's a fire hazard. It's an ain't come over. But they all daven in the base medrash. 12,000. Can you imagine davening with 12,000 people together? That's one floor. And they have another floor below. No, there's no seats. They all stand.
And the women don't...
What women? They stand the whole time. There's no women's section. You have to see on the sides, there's like... It reminded me of Cobo Hall. This thing. I mean, it was that big. And so they showed us a video of Rebbe when the Rebbe's youngest son got married. Now, I didn't see a bride anywhere in the video, to be honest with you. I'm not even sure where the bride was. I think she was there during the Kofa, but after that...
Was that the recent wedding?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the one I
there were 50,000 people at that wedding.
I didn't go to the wedding when I was at the Kofa.
The 50,000 people,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
It was, I mean, that's unbelievable.
You
couldn't get into the wedding. You probably couldn't.
I needed binoculars to see what...
You couldn't get into the wedding, correct?
No, you had to have a ticket.
Right.
We snuck...
Like, right, because to get in, I think you only wanted 15,000 people to get in.
Yeah.
So they showed us a video, and the Rebbe's dancing, and it's a powerful. The Rebbe, you know, like, he had 15,000 people dancing at one time, with the black and the whole thing. And I was taken in the video. I looked at the Rebbe's son. He didn't look so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And this son isn't going to be the next Rebbe. He's the youngest son. But just the position of being the son of greatness is a very difficult position to be in. But I don't think that he thought that he wasn't going to be the king. I think that he just identified with David. He just identified with him. You know, there are people, if you're lucky in life to find a friend that you identify with and you can share and you can, you know, you immediately have this sense of connection with. People are fortunate to have that. Most people, I think, don't really have that in life. And that's people who have find that are lucky. And everything that Shaul sent him out, Yaskil, how do I translate it? I want to know two translations. Art scroll? Everything that he did, he succeeded probably. He was successful.
He was successful.
He was successful. You have? Okay, good, fine. So Shaul put him in charge of his warriors. The whole nation liked it, and the servants of Shaul also liked it. Pasuk Vav. When they came back, when David returned from smiting the giant, so all the women came out to sing and the dancing. Back then, the women, I guess, would dance in front of the men. They had these dancers, you know, the cheerleaders, the tupim, the simcha, with drums and with tambourines. The women, they danced. So they answer, they raise their voice. La'anot means to raise their voice, and they shine. Shaul smote his thousands. David birivavotav. How do they translate it? I just want to make sure. Read me the whole sentence, what they say.
The rejoicing woman called out and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David has his tens of thousands.
Bradley, what do you have? Same thing?
His 10,000.
His 10,000. Okay. Now, so how does Saul react to that?
Not good.
Right. Vayichal Saul Ma'ov. Vayera Vayinav Hadavar Ezeh. Saul gets very upset, and he's like annoyed. Vayomer, he says, Nafilu David Bimavot, Vani Li Namu Halafim. What the heck? He gets 10,000 and I get 1,000? And before you know it, he's going to be king. What does the word oyein mean? Oyein, Rashi says, is there a Rashi? Oyein, tet, Rashi says, ayin ra'a. He looked at him with a bad eye. What does that mean, ayin ra'a? It's the way you carry out with people. Look at President Bush. Can't do anything right. Right? And vice versa. What? A jaundiced eye. Okay, so from then on, it showered him on David. That's the end. Pasuk Yud 10. Vayimia Macharat. Next day, Vatislach Ruach Elokim Ra'a El Shaul. And he got another evil something or other. I don't know. Vayid Nabe B'Toch Habayit. It says Vayid Nabe means he prophesied. But Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, Pasuk Yud. See Rashi Yid Nabe. The ishtati, from the word shota. Anybody know what a shota is? A fool. Right? Rashi says, Navi v'shota midabrim divrei ramazim she'enam mikarim. Both of those people mumble. Fools and prophets. So Shaul was prophesizing, and he was just really mumbling to himself. What did he have? He had another one of his
episodes.
Right, we're being very generous. Another one of his episodes. Okay. By David, minagein biyado chiyom yom. What's he doing? He's playing. That's his job. He's a musician. V'hachanit biyad Shaul. And Shaul is, fingering his spear. V'yatel Shaul et hachanit. So Shaul, v'yatel. What does v'yatel mean?
He threw.
You have threw?
It says he hurled.
He hurled.
Cast.
What does Netilat Yadayim mean? Gentlemen, washing of the hands. No, how would you say washing of the hands? How would you say washing of the hands?
Rechitza.
So what is Nitol Yadayim? What is Netilat Lulav? Asher Kitam is having Tivano Al Netilat Lulav. You don't throw it. What do? You take it. Okay? It's interesting. How did he translate it also? Is he threw it?
He cast.
Yeah. He cast. Okay? This is interesting. What's the problem with saying that he threw it? Well, let's see what happened. And he said, I will smite David and the wall. What does that mean to smite David and the wall?
So
I'm going to skewer him to the wall.
Right.
Vayishov David mipanav. What? Take him to the wall. Vayishov David mipanav pa'amayim. So David turned away from him twice. It's a very vague, unusual thing. So did Shaul throw it? I think, to me, personally, I think it means he took it. Meaning he's holding it. Vayitol means just like in Tefillat Lulav. He picked it up. Why do I think that he didn't throw it? Why do I think it doesn't? Why doesn't it make sense to me to say that he threw it?
David wouldn't have turned away from
him? Yeah, what would David have done?
He
could have taken it off. How do I know? How do I know? Because, let's look a little later on. 1 second.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes. Yeah, 1 second. Mm, 1 second. Here we are. Turn to, just hold your place here, chapter 19, verse Yud. Verse 10. 19, verse 10. Vayivakei Shaul lahakot b'chanit b'David u'bakir. Shaul wanted to smite David with the spear and the wall. Vayistar mibnei Shaul. So David moved away. Vayach et hachanit b'kir. What happened there?
Sure.
The spear hit the wall. And then what did David do? The David nas vayimalei b'layla ahu. And what did David do? He's out of there. You know, don't get me wrong, but...
Well, either the first time he didn't learn, the second time he learned.
Yeah, but two times David turned the other way. Yeah, it seems a little unusual to say that he actually threw the spear at David, and David didn't notice.
Well, according to Rabbi Artscroll,
yeah,
he was studying the Malbim, right. Mm-hmm. David played concentrated, and this is Pesuk Yud Aleph in Yud Ches.
Yeah.
David played concentrating on his harp and not observing Saul. The king threw his spear as if in target practice, aiming at for a place on the wall, so that when it hit David, it would appear to have been an accident. God caused the unsuspecting David to turn away at that very moment so that the spear went harmlessly into the wall. Not realizing that the weapon had been aimed at him, David continued to play.
I saw somewhere, I don't
and
remember.
Saul tried again with the same result.
I saw somewhere, I don't remember where, I saw somebody said it means that. No, that, I'm not saying that, but he says to pick it up, that he just means, the Hatil means to pick it up. I saw somewhere, because it makes more sense to me.
Can I just ask you a question?
Yeah.
Maybe I missed it.
You'll see why in a second, at the end, why I'm saying.
Why is David sitting and playing for him?
Remember, why does David play for him? Because he has these episodes, and the music is coming to him.
Okay.
Right? So now, isn't it great? The guy who's playing the music to calm him down...
He wants to
give the cause of this.
...is the very guy who drives him crazy in the first place! Stop playing the music! Yeah. Pasuk Yabet, a very anew, Vayira Sha'ul Mnifnei David. So Saul became afraid of David. Because Saul clearly saw that God was with David and not with Shaul. So what does he do? Remember I said, get rid of that guy? So he gets rid of him. How does he get rid of him? He makes him a general. So David became in charge of the whole nation. Pasuk Yudalet. And David, in all his ways, is successful, and God is with him. So Shaul saw that David is very successful. Vayagar mipanav. Vayagar means became more fearful, very afraid of him. V'chol Yisrael v'Yehuda ohev et David, ki hu yotzei v'ba lifneihem. And all the Jewish people, they love David, and because he's in charge of them, right? They love him. So here you have this dichotomy: who loves David? Everybody loves David. The people love David. The army loves David. Who else loves David?
His son loves David.
His son loves David. Loves him. Not just loves him.
Adores.
Idolizes him. You know, he gave him his sword and his spear and he had a pact and their blood brothers and the whole thing. And Saul hates him. He hates him. It's interesting. He hates him and he's afraid of him. Very interesting combination. So what does he do? What?
It says intimidated.
He's intimidated by him. You know, it's just very... The emotions swirling around Shaul are very, very interesting and unusual. V'yamer Shaul el David. So what does Shaul do? Hine biti hagdola Merav. Here I have a daughter, Merav. Ota ten mechal isha. You know what? I want you to marry her. Ah, chayeli the ben chayav. But you first have to go fight a little bit. V'Shaul amar, so Shaul says, al tehi adibo, utiibo yadvistim. He says, you know what? I don't have to take care of this problem myself. All I got to do is send him away. Let the priesthood take care of the problem for me.
He didn't learn from him killing Goliath that this was a mistake.
I don't know. My yamer David al Shaul. So what did David say? Mi anochi umi chayai ispachah David. Who the me marry your daughter? Ki ayenach hasham amel. I'm going to be the son-in-law of the king. Whoa. You know, David answered in unbelievable humility. He's like, you know, wow, that's an incredible honor. Who am I to be that way?
But wasn't it said before, though? Wasn't it said that whoever kills Goliath marries the...
Very good.
So
very good.
So what's this?
Good question. David, and so it came the time to give Merab, the daughter of Shaul, to David. He didn't have Adriel, Hamacholati Elisha. Oh, what do you know? Lo and behold, so close, David. She just got married to that guy, Adriel. You're just a little behind the times. What are you wondering?
Just trying to stick it to him. Is that what he's doing? You know, here, you're gonna have it. Oh, gee, sorry.
Yeah, it's a little.
Is that what he's doing? He's just trying to.
She's wondering what in the world is he doing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. But to have Michal bat Shaul at David. Lo and behold, who else loves David?
Another daughter.
His daughter. They told Shaul, and now it's good. So Shaul says, "Etnena lo." You know what? I'll give her to him. Utihilo lemokesh, and she'll be for him a stumbling block. I'm not sure. Like, you know, if she was that annoying. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not. It's unclear what he means. Utihilo yad priestim, so the priestim will get him. Vayomer Shaul David. No, you marry both of them, the two women. Meaning, one of the two you get. So the Shaul says to his servants, Dabur al David Balat, tell him secretly saying, the king loves you. He wants you to marry his daughter. So they said these things. You think it's such a small deal to marry the king's daughter? Who am I to marry the king's daughter? David is like, you know, steady as a rock here. He's like, who am I? This is unbelievable cover. I can't believe it. 23. So Shaul's servant said, you know what? He's into it. He wants it. 25. They tell him the following. He doesn't want money. He wants you to kill 100 priestim and bring back their foreskins. The Shaul said, you know, one big guy is one thing. 100? No way. Okay, so David said, oh, good. That was a good idea. Didn't take long. So David took his little band of brigade, the David brigade. He says, 100? 200, right? So he brought their foreskins. He says, here you go. Here's my payment. No problem. Gets married. Vayar Shaul vayeda Shaul son hinu ki Hashem im David u'michal bat Shaul ahevato, and Michal loved him too. Vayosef Shaul leiro mipnei David avod. Shaul continued leiro means to be fearful. Vayhi Shaul oyed et David kol hayamim. Very strong language. He became his eternal enemy. How do I translate in English like that?
Hostile.
Okay. So the ministers of Plishtim came out. David had become so successful, I mean, even the Plishtim knew who he was. His name became very, very valuable. David was, you know, he was it. End of chapter 18. The only thing we have to ask ourselves is, what in the world is going on? Okay? I mean, if you want to say it in a nutshell, clearly, Shaul is paranoid.
Well, he's got a lot to be paranoid about.
Who does Shaul remind you of? What other... Don't close, we're going to keep that more to do. What other figure, I thought about it a little bit, what other figure in Tanakh does Shaul remind you of in these stories? I want to see if anybody gets the same person that I thought of. In these stories, Shaul reminds me, at least in the details of this chapter, Shaul reminds me of another person in Tanakh, and it's not a flattering comparison.
Eli?
I wasn't thinking of Eli, I'll tell you. Why Eli?
Because he didn't take care of his son, so he had hoped that his sons would take over for
uh-huh.
him, and they didn't. The coin girdle was stopped by him.
Right.
It was torn away just like by Saul.
So here's who I was thinking of.
Lavan?
Yeah, very good. Why Lavan?
That's what I was thinking as you were reading. It's the same idea. You can have this daughter.
Right, here you go. I got two daughters. Right? So he comes to marry one daughter, and it turns out it's not the right daughter. So what happens to David? He comes to marry Merav. Can't marry Merav. I just married her off today. Then he comes to marry the other one, and the question is, how much are you going to pay me for the other one as opposed to the first one? It just seems...
That's what I was thinking.
That's not a flattering comparison. Because if you think about it, Lavan doesn't get very good press in the Midrash. Lavan is not a good guy. And there's a number of other comparisons that I thought of to Lavan. You can think about them on your own. So, you know, Lavan has the reputation of being a sneaky, disreputable person. Right? Who tricks Yaakov. And Shaul there's a lot of comparisons between Shaul and Lavan here. But the thing that really drives you nuts in this parak, in this chapter is, let's say you hate David and you feel threatened by him. Okay? What would be the most logical thing to do?
Send him away?
Absolutely. What would you send him?
Far away as possible.
What would you send him?
Ambassador to Scotland.
Ambassador to Scotland. Even better. If you felt threatened by him, what would you send him? So that he wouldn't threaten you at all.
Back to the farm?
Absolutely. Send him home.
Send
him to your service.
Successful in the farm.
Lucky shot. Good job. Have fun with the sheep. Have a good time. See you later. Right? Send him home.
Why didn't you send him home right away?
So now I'm asking you.
Well, it doesn't sound from the whole story that he was thinking particularly clearly. On the one hand, he's acknowledging that God is with him.
Correct.
And in his mind, he's trying to come up with ways to get rid of him.
Correct.
If his mind was working properly, he would recognize that was kind of a futile...
Right, everything he's doing is making him more...
See, but here's the thing. Correct. The things that he does to try to cut him down do make him more successful. But in between, he does a number of things that go entirely against his whole plan. Let's take, for example. So what does he do? Yonatan loves David. Right? So what does he do when Yonatan loves David? You have to really read through it. Go back to the beginning. Chapter 18. So Yonatan loves David. So he sees that his son loves David. Okay? Pasuk Bet. So Shaul says, you know what? You're never going home. You're staying with us. Why would he say that? Fine.
Thinking about his son.
What?
Thinking about his son. Don't want to upset his son.
Good. He doesn't want to upset his son. Then, Vayitei David, Pasuk Hei, verse 5. B'chol asher shalchanu Shaul yaskir, he's successful. Vayisinei Shaul, al anshei hamil, come on. So he says, you know what? You're doing well. So he puts him in charge. He makes him, a captain or something. Everybody's happy.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, he has the best soldier. He's doing well in the field. You have to win this war against the Christian.
Yeah.
It's a logical thought.
Okay, what's more important, winning the battle or losing the kingship?
Well, that's where his mind's not making sense.
Right, okay. Then...
Well, if you lose the battle, there's no kingship there.
What?
If you lose, there's no kingship
there. Yeah, but it was an ongoing battle. It was a long war. It was going to be a long war.
You have David win the war for you, and then slip him some poison.
I don't know.
Jonathan takes the thing.
Okay. Good. Pasuk Yud Gimel, 13. He's really mad at him. He throws the spear. He doesn't throw the spear. He can't stand his guts. He's really upset. So what does he do? Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayishirehu Shaul Meimo. Vayishirehu Sa'ela. He makes him a general.
Well, he does that.
Great, in the hopes that he'll go to war and get killed.
Right. To make him a general in the hopes that he'll go to war and get killed?
David did the same thing.
Yeah. David did the same thing to Uriah, but Uriah was not a general, and Uriah was not a valiant fighter.
I know, but he did the same thing. He sent him out to the war.
So send him out to war as a private. Don't make him a general. You can send him out to war. I understand the war thing.
Because it's too late at this point. Now he's stuck in a pickle because he can't send him home at this point because the people of Israel know this is like the greatest fighter we've ever had. And who's going to save us now? The king's not this, you know, wonderful fighter. David is the great fighter. You can't send him in as a private because he's just going to wind up being a field general.
You don't have to immediately promote him to, you know what I'm saying, to control the whole thing. Sar Elef, Sar Elef is, you know,
maybe
is a general.
Maybe it's like the Israel's army right now. The captains and the generals go up front and the privates go behind. So
the generals don't go up front, the captains do, the generals do now.
Well,
yeah.
Not only that, if he puts him in a high position, he'll have more enemies, more people who want to get him.
Everybody loves him. Everybody loves David. What?
Not the Philistines. They're going to go, they tried to get the generals.
They're afraid of him, actually. They're intimidated by him in the end.
Yeah.
They've heard about him, too. You know, it's just very interesting. So if I were to ask you, do Saul's choices make sense or not make sense, you would say?
To him they did.
What?
To him they did.
Oh, and then he's upset at him, and then he wants to get him, so what does he do? Oh, I'm really going to get him. How's he really going to get him? Then what does he decide to do?
Well, he doesn't know what to do, right?
What does he then do? Marry my daughter. Let me see, if you feel threatened by a guy, then you're afraid that he's going to come and take over your kingdom. What is the last thing you want him to be?
Part of the
royal family.
Keep your friends close to your enemies
that
closer.
Part,
you want to say that? Fine.
Or keep him real busy.
But you marry, once you marry him into the family, he becomes an heir to the throne. But doesn't he? It's almost like Shaul is fulfilling his worst nightmare.
But it was.
It's nuts.
God was gonna nudge him enough for like.
But God was crazy. I love what he says about it.
It
like he loaned him a case. She'll like drive him crazy. You know, that'll be the end of him, right?
It was too late. He wanted to.
What's that mean too late?
Well, because he wanted to marry him to Mirah, but according to the fortune, she eloped. So
she did not elope. She could not elope. You know how she married this other guy? Shaul married her to some other guy. We're not going to go into the whole Gemara, but it's clear some of us even believe that she was already married to David. That she was owed to David because of the beating of Goliath, that he was hers. And that Shaul had no right and she was an Esha Ish to this other guy.
But again, Rabbi Artskol, according to the fact, says that he didn't know it. That
what?
Shaul apparently insisted that marriage take place, but his plan was foiled at the time. When the nuptials were to take place, it was learned that without Saul's knowledge, Mirah had previously accepted.
It's very easy.
Well,
I'll tell you, it's nice when you have an agenda to try to make everybody come out as nicely as possible, and you're going to pick every peerish that's going to fit into to create this picture that you want to create. I can do that too. I do it all the time. I'm doing it right now. You know what I'm saying? But just understand what the art school's agenda is.
Well,
the art school's agenda is to make sure, you know what I'm saying? I mean, from the psukim, I'm sorry, the facts of the psukim seem to indicate that Shaul lifts David up, cuts him down. Lifts him up, cuts him down. Lifts him up, cuts him down. And it's interesting, there's a progression. Look at the progression is, the first thing he does is, he sends him out to Goliath. All right, sent him out to Goliath, he didn't know where he was. So he says, okay, in my progression, he's holding the spear, but he doesn't throw the spear. He wants him dead. The next thing he does, he sends him out, you want to marry Merav? No problem. You have to be a leader in the army. Leader in the army? The policeman will take care of him. When that doesn't work, he says, no, Merav. You want Michal? Now what do you have to do? You don't have to be a leader in the army. I want 100 foreskins. Go kill 100 people. Like,
even
that's impossible.
He wound up in this whole predicament
more and more and more and more
because Yonatan loved David.
Smart.
I'm just following the line of thought now.
Yeah.
And he winds up promising Merav to David, but doesn't want to give him Merav. But then he finds out that his daughter Michal loves. It says the first time that she loves David.
That's a question.
But then it says it again.
Do you think
after
in those times anybody cared whether their daughter loved anybody?
But the thing is
you know who the daughter married?
Father said.
Right. But Danny, I love the other guy.
But the thing is that
it's a little sorry.
It's like something in his mind is saying that okay, he's my son's best friend, and one of my daughters is madly in love with him. I can't lose my children.
One thing it's important not to do. Can't lose my.